Morning with us into Jeremiah chapter number 10. Jeremiah chapter number 10 as you're turning. I'd ask you to continue to remember my daughter Becky in your prayers if you would, as she had surgery here on Tuesday and she's in the recovery process doing well, but we still covet your prayers and I know she does, and just ask you to lift her up if you would. I ask you to remember Brother Joe Newsom and his family as his mom has it at the crossing time. She's waiting to slip out of this world and into the glory world. And we know that it's a trying time sometimes, but God's grace is always sufficient, and we know that he'll see him through it. And remember Brother Rodney Lively. He's in room 331 in Elkton, had a heart attack, and he needs your prayers and covet your prayers, so just lift him up in prayer. If you're able to and can, stop by and see him. I know to cheer and uplift him and help him along. If you found Jeremiah chapter 10, we'd invite you to stand this morning. And I know last week we didn't get into the pulpit till almost 10 minutes. By the time we got into the message, it was almost 10 minutes to 12. And we got some other things going on this morning. We got a young man done come to be baptized. And I thought we was going to have some folks that wanted to join, but found out that the missus in that deal is sick this morning and wasn't able to be here. So just lift the service up in prayer this morning. Amen. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10, we're going to read verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? You may be seated. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, for he had seen what God was going to do through the prophecies that God had revealed unto him. And his heart lamented, his heart yearned, his heart cried out because of what he knew sin had done to his people, and what sin would continue to do to his people, because his people continually refuse to obey God. You see, sin doesn't mean that you necessarily go out here and you do some heinous crime. Some people tell me, I had a man tell me one time, Brother Jack was standing there, and when I was witnessing to him, he says, "I don't need that." He said, "I'm not a bad person." I said, "Well, it doesn't matter how bad a person you are. How good do you think you need to be?" He said, "I don't know, but I'm not a thief, and I'm not a murderer, and I'm not a robber or any of these things. I'm a good person. I don't need that." Well, let me tell you, sin is simply disobeying God. It doesn't matter how good a person that you are. It doesn't matter whether you've murdered anyone. You're still a sinner. It doesn't matter whether you're a thief. You're still a sinner. It doesn't matter whether you live an immoral or a moral life outside of Christ Jesus. The Bible says that you are still a sinner, and you're lost in your sins, and without Jesus, you're on your way to a place called hell. Amen. Amen. Right. Jeremiah, realizing and knowing that his people were in a dire strait, also realized that his people did not know the right way to go without God's direction. We was down at Faith Baptist about a year or so, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, and her brother Mark McKay, he preached a message down there. I've never forgot it. He preached out of Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he was preaching to young people. It was a young people's service. And he preached that message, "You don't know what you're doing." Amen. It was a good message. Amen. You were there, wasn't you, Brother Steve? That was a good message. Amen. And here we are in Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and he's trying to tell us, he's trying to confess the fact before God that we really don't know what we're doing because we don't know where we're going. Amen. We've got people in this world that are lost and on their way to hell, and they're trying to find a way to get to heaven. And the Bible says right here that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You're not going to get to heaven trying to do it your own way. We've got Christians in our churches today that are trying to fulfill the Word of God. They're trying to live out their Christianity, but they're trying to do it their own way instead of doing it God's way. Amen. And let me tell you something. When you get to doing it your own way, you don't know what you're doing. And you really don't know where you're going. Amen. I want to preach to you on this thought. This morning, you can't get there your own way. Whether it's in the place of ministry that God wants you to be as a Christian, you can't get there your own way. You know, we got a lot of mama called and daddy sent preachers in this world. If you don't know what that means, let me just make a plain. Mommy thinks her boy is so sweet and he's such a good, that they want to send him off to Bible school. And he's going to be a preacher because they sent him to Bible school. I heard a preacher one time say, if your father's a preacher, you know, then you should be a preacher. That's not God's way.
Amen.
Amen. God called his men. Each one of them that he used was called individually. And just because daddy was a good preacher doesn't mean the son was worth a hill of soup beans. Just because the daddy was a good king doesn't mean that the son grew up to be a good king, even though he inherited that throne. God calls his people. God will call his man and put his man where he wants him. And mommy can think he's a preacher, and daddy can pay for him to go to Bible college all he wants to. That does not make him a preacher. What that makes is a problem that we are facing in this world today.
Amen.
Amen. Then we got people that are lost. They're on their way to hell, and they think that just being good people and doing good deeds and living a good civic life and being a good and upright and upstanding individual is going to get them to heaven. But the Bible says our works mean nothing before a righteous God. Our works will account to nothing. But yet, there we are, the lost people, trying to work their way. The Christian trying to direct his own way. When clearly the Bible tells us and Jeremiah confesses that it's not within man to even direct his own steps because he really doesn't know how he should go and where he should go and when he should go and why he should go. But we need to go when God tells us to go.
Amen.
I want to look at some individuals in the Word of God that tried to do it their own way. If you turn back into Judges chapter number 16, verses 20 and 21, we're talking and we're reading a passage of Scripture that deals with a man by the name of Samson. A man whom God had given great strength, and he was a mighty man. The Bible tells us some of the great feats that Samson had done. He slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And when they had captured him, and they had tied him and bound him to the gates of the city, the Bible tells us that he just tore the gates of the city loose and carried him off in and of himself. Samson was a mighty, mighty man. He had great strength. He had great power. He thought he had authority. But Samson's problem was he thought he could do everything his own way. Because of his power and because of his strength, he thought he was able to overcome all the obstacles of sin. Samson didn't want no part with the women of Israel, the women that were his own people. He wanted to go dabble into the world. And when he seen a woman of the Philistines, he told his parents, he said, go get her to me for wife. He was not only strong, he was spoiled.
Amen.
I don't believe anybody could tell their parents something like that and not be a spoiled brat. Now, his parents were godly parents. Amen. But he was spoilt. Get her to me to wife, commanded his parents. And they said, well, isn't there a young lady? Isn't there a young lady here in your own people? I don't want this. I want that. You see, that's the problem with us in our lives so many times. God has what we need right here. Amen. God has what we need right in his own house. And we're looking everywhere else. I talk to young, my wife and I, we listen to young men. We listen to young women all the time telling us they're trying to find a wife and they can't understand why they can't find a meaningful and a good relationship. But they're looking everywhere else for a wife or for a husband than in the house of God. You're not going to find a godly wife down in the barroom. Amen. You're not going to find a godly husband that's got a worldly disposition about him. You'll never change him, but he'll change you. Amen. 90% of the time. That's just what happened to Samson. Amen. Samson went down. He got this wife and never got to spend the night with her. Never got to have her as his wife. Because he was so strong. And he was so much smarter than everybody. He fooled himself right out of his own wife. And his friend wound up with his wife. And you think he would have learned. You think he would have grasped that, man, even though I've done this. Now, he had to go kill 1,000 or what was it? How many changes? 100 changes? Or 30? 30 changes of Christ. He had to go kill 30 people. To fulfill a boast that he had made because he thought he was strong enough to deal with everything. Because I'm strong, I'll just handle this. I'll deal with it. I made a mistake, so I'm just going to go deal with it. And the mistake cost him his wife. Amen? But he didn't learn. See, that's the problem with strong people. We got a lot of people who think they're strong. But don't really realize how weak they really are. Amen? You think you're able to dabble with sin. And I can dabble with this a little bit, and it's not going to... That's how most people get sucked into drug addiction. Amen? Well, I can deal with this, and I know I can't cross this line. I know I can't go this far, because if I go this far, I've went too far. So I'm just going to stay here, and the next thing they know, where are they at? Amen? They've been sucked into it. Now, I know there are people here that have dealt with different addictions, drug addictions, alcohol addictions, and whatever other addictions you want to label, you can. Did any of you ever think when you started into that mess that you're just going to let it control your life? You're just going to let it overrun you and override you and take you completely? No. We all thought we were strong enough. Amen? Am I lying? Is that the truth? Amen? We all thought, well, we can deal with this. We can handle this in ourselves and in our own ability because I'm strong enough to do this. Samson thought he was strong enough. And he kept dabbling in sin. He kept dabbling with the Philistines. Amen. He kept playing. I like Brother Barry Spears said he had some neighbors down there that were just a terror. They were just sheer terror. They're just plum heathens. And he looked out one day and his little girls had went down in the backyard across the creek and were playing with these kids on this other side. And he said they were just the terror of the neighborhood. And he said, before I thought of it, he said, I screamed out the door, get away from those Philistines and get back in your yard. Amen. And that's what I tell you Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Stay away from those Philistines. You're not strong enough to deal with them even though you think that you are. Because you know what? Sooner or later, they're going to outwit you. Sooner or later, sin is going to overcome you before you even realize that it happened. And here in Judges chapter number 16, we see Samson, lost his wife, and now he's looking for another woman. Instead of learning his lesson of fooling with the Philistines the last time, he's done fooling with another Philistine woman by the name of Delilah. Hey, amen. How many of you have dealt with Delilah in your life? Hey, amen. How many of you have had Delilah coming to you day after day? Ask the drug addict, Delilah has got a hold of him. Ask the alcoholic, Delilah has got a hold of him. Ask the person who has trouble controlling their temper and controlling their attitude, Delilah has a hold of him. Ask the Christian that keeps looking in the world and keeps finding themselves dabbling out in the sins of the world and finding themselves in the problem that sin brings, Delilah has a hold of them, amen. And when Delilah gets a hold of you, Delilah will woo you until she gets what she wants. And when Delilah gets what she wants, she will bring you to destruction. It doesn't matter how strong you are. Amen. Look at what happened to Samson. Delilah had done wooed him. And then wooed him. And done wooed him. And Samson, as strong as he was, got weak because Delilah had wooed him. And he told her that if you cut the locks of my hair off, I'll be just like any other man. And she cut the locks of his hair off, the Bible says in Judges 16 and in verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Oh, he wanted to dabble. He wanted to deal with the Philistines, and he wanted to keep hanging out with the Philistines, and the Philistines finally got their way, and he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Christian, that's what happens to us when we try to do things our own way. That's what happens when we try to work in our own strength. We try to work in our own abilities. We try to work in everything that we've always been. It might have always worked before. But if you don't let God direct it, it's going to fail you. Amen. If you don't let God direct your life, it don't matter how strong you've been, your strength can fail you. Just like that. And he wist not, before you know it, he looked just like the Philistines. Here's old strong Samson, the man that killed a thousand men with the jawbone of an ass. A man that ripped the doors off the gate of the city. Now he's bound with fetters and chains. Now he's in the prison house doing what a beast of burden had done, a run in the mill to grind the grain. Because he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And he thought he was going to go out as at other times. You can tell yourself a million times, I've got this. Tell yourselves a million times, I'm strong enough to defeat this. Tell yourselves all you want to, that I can do this on my own. It's always worked before. Folks, if God's not directing your steps, your strength, and those things that you have as strengths, we all got our strengths. Amen. We all got our individual strengths. Those things that you know as strengths can fail you if God's not in it and God's not directing it? Jeremiah said, it's not in man. It's not according to his way and his ability to be able to direct his own way. And his strength won't be enough. Samson's strength wasn't enough for him. And your strength won't be enough for you when you don't let God direct your feet. Don't let God direct your path. Don't let God direct your life. You're not strong enough. Solomon thought his wisdom was enough. Solomon was the wisest man that has ever lived. God imparted under Solomon the gift of wisdom beyond what anybody had ever known, simply because Solomon had asked for wisdom in directing and leading God's people and doing what God wanted him to do. Solomon had a good attitude. Solomon had the right attitude. When God said, look, ask whatever you want and I'm going to give it to you, he could ask for riches. He could ask for the heads of his enemies. He could have asked for all kinds of things, but Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom in abundance. People would come. Kings would come. Important people would come just to get to hear Solomon hold court and impart his wisdom in the matters of judgment and the matters of things that need to be done. Solomon was wise. Solomon was smart. You know, you can be so smart that you're dumber than a box of rocks. Amen. 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 You ever work around, man, I've worked around people all my life. They got, now don't take this wrong if you went to college, but they got degrees, but they don't have a lick of common sense. Amen. Amen. They have no concept. Some of y'all remember when I was doing this several years ago, I helped design a big piece of equipment that we have at work, the MPMVs. I got to go. I was a part of the design team that went down. And I deal with them engineers, and they make you just want to beat your head against a wall. Man. You know, they design something, and they don't think about down the road, somebody's got to work on this. You know? And, I mean, I'll give you an example. One of the biggest fights I had with them was just getting them to change some air filters. They had air filters. It was going to take 8 hours just to change an air filter. You'd have to take so much of the machine apart just to get to the air filter. They didn't think nothing about it. Yeah, but it's all compact. I said, what good is that if it's going to take a man a whole day just to change, you know, a $50 air filter? Hey, man, that doesn't make good. That's not good engineering. They got mad. I said, that's not good engineering. Hey, man. You can be so smart, you can be so wise, and still be dumber than a box of rocks. We got colleges today that aren't teaching. They're indoctrinating.
Amen.
Amen. They're not teaching what needs to be taught. They're teaching philosophy and ideology. Amen. That needs to be left to families and faith and personal things. We send our children to schools to be educated, not indoctrinated.
Amen.
Now, you can agree with that or not agree with it. I posted a thing on Facebook the other day. One of our liberal-leaning educators, I forget what college, some of you have probably seen it. One of our liberal-leaning educators that says, well, all these women at college that don't agree with abortion and are pro-life should be raped. This is from a mainstream American college. That if your daughter's in that college and she's a conservative and doesn't believe in abortion, this educator makes this statement, she should be raped. That's not education. That's a lunacy.
Amen.
That's not intelligence. That's stupidity.
Amen.
See, we can get so educated and we can get so wise that we forget what's important. And we forget what's true. You can know the Word of God. You can quote whole books. There are people who can quote whole entire books of Scripture. And they're so wise in what God's Word says, but they're not wise enough to let the Word of God be imparted into their heart and to what it means.
Amen.
Amen? You can get wrapped up in your wisdom so much that you can thank God right out of the process. See, that's what we are doing in America. I believe in education. The Bible, if you read in Proverbs, and I believe he sums it up, said, knowledge is the primary thing. Wisdom's the primary thing. Education is the primary thing. Learning's the primary thing. Therefore, get knowledge. He says, but with all thy getting, get understanding. Amen?
Amen.
We can know the Word of God and not understand it. We can know the principles of God but not understand them and not apply them. We can be so smart that everybody that knows us thinks we're the smartest person in the world, and we can still fall down and we can still fail God. And if you don't believe that, the Bible records the actions of the wisest man that has ever lived, and I believe that ever will live apart from Christ Jesus in this world. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 1, but Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Amorites, the Edomites, the Zidonians, and the Hittites. Listen to this. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. This is the wisest man that had ever lived. This is a man that had a special anointing of wisdom, a special wisdom that was imparted to him of God, and yet he knew what the Word of God says, and he clearly disobeyed. But I'm smart enough to figure this out. But I'm smart enough to deal with this. But pastor, you don't understand. I'm smart enough. I can go to this church and that church. That's why I don't go everywhere. Amen?
Amen?
I can go everywhere. And I know I'm strong enough, I believe in my faith, to swallow the meat and spit the bone out. Amen? But I don't go everywhere because I don't want to encourage you to go somewhere that you've seen me go. Amen? And it doesn't mean that I can't get food. It doesn't mean that I can't fall and falter. So it's better to me not to run everywhere and not to try to do everything. Amen? And you know what? It's better for you to do the same thing.
Amen?
Amen? Well, I can get into this, Pastor. I can deal with my friends, and I can go where they go and do what they do. I can discern between good and evil. Well, for a while you can. But when you dwell among it and you live among it for so long, pretty soon things that you know are wrong begin to seem right. Amen? And slowly, the wisdom of this world begins to replace the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the things of this world begin to outweigh the knowledge of what God has said. And Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with God with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. You're smart? That's good. The devil's smarter. Amen? You're wise? That's great. The devil's wiser. Amen? You know all these things. You know the Word of God, and you can quote Scripture. That's good. The devil can do it too. But praise God, I want you to know something, that the devil can turn your heart. He can turn your mind. And before you know it, he can have you serving the false gods. Solomon found himself building altars and building places of worship. I think you read on down there. It says he built a grove to Chemosh, the abomination of the, I like the way he put it, the abomination of the Amorites. I always like reading that. That's what sin is, an abomination. Amen. And he built to this God, and he built to that God, and he built, and he worshiped this God, and he worshiped that God. He quit worshiping the real God. But he was smart. But he was wise. But he quit seeking God's direction. Amen? Amen? He wasn't smart enough to keep letting God direct him. And he started listening to his wives. Amen? Started listening to his wives. Started listening to his concubine. Man, I got all the problems I can handle with one. Can I get an amen? Amen. Guys, amen. Don't worry. She's got all the problems she can handle with you. Amen. Ladies, amen. Amen. I want you to know something. I can't imagine having that many. Amen. I wouldn't just be bald. I'd be looking for somebody to shoot me. Shoot me. Amen. It'd drive you crazy. I've got one. And the devil can use her. Amen. She's got one. And the devil can use me. Amen. And it don't matter how much you know, it don't matter how smart you are. The devil can overcome you. And he can overtake you. And before you realize it, you're out of doing some abomination in the sight of God. But you thought that you were smart enough to do it. You know what? Y'all going to get a twofer today. You're going to have to come back tonight to get the second part. But I want... I'm getting there. But I don't want to rush it. I think it's important that you understand this. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Nebuchadnezzar had power. He had strength. He was mighty. And in his day he commanded and controlled the mightiest kingdom that the world knew. He was wise enough to plan the battles. He was mighty enough to direct the battles and to overcome. In all nations, in his time, had to acknowledge him as the superpower of his day. But God sent somebody to Nebuchadnezzar. And when Nebuchadnezzar began to dream his dreams, God had a man that would interpret his dreams for him. God had a man who would direct him and who would lead him and who would guide him in the things that God intended for him. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen. You see, he was strong enough to do whatever he wanted to do. He was wise enough to have gotten him as far as he's got in life. So why should I listen? And then God gave him a dream. And Daniel came, the man of God came and interpreted for him his dream. And he told him, said, "Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, here's the interpretation of the dream. You dreamed about a tree that's been hewn down, and then a tree grew up out of the stump, and you seen the wild beast, you seen all these things. Here's the story. It's the story of you." Amen. You know what I preach every Sunday morning? I preach the story of you. A bunch of no good, dirty, filthy, rotten, low-down, stinking sinners that deserve to be in hell. But by the grace of God, we can find deliverance and find salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. I preach to you every Sunday the story of you. And David told Nebuchadnezzar the story of him. Here's what's going to happen, O King Nebuchadnezzar. God's going to bring you low to teach you a lesson. But you don't have to get to that place if you'll heed the lesson now. Amen. You know, you might think that you got great power. You might think you hold a great position. I don't care if you're a pastor. You can read in the news every day. You go online, and I'm sure you can find out that every week, week in and week out, a pastor somewhere has fallen. Amen? It doesn't matter about your position. We hear on the news all the time about government officials that have fallen. Amen? We read and we hear about teachers that have fallen. Just because you have a position and you have great power, it's not going to see you through, and it's not going to get you through. Daniel told him that he could avoid all these problems if he would listen. Daniel told him to break off thy sins and do righteousness and to stop your iniquities and change your life. What I plead with you, what I plead to you this morning is to change your life. If you have sin in your life, if you're dealing with sin in your life, break off of doing sin and seek righteousness. Seek God's face. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's a saving God. He's a restoring God. And He's a soon coming God that's going to make a change in our life for all of eternity. That will never be changed again. Amen. Daniel told him. But the Bible says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 to 31, "And this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon." Now he done had the warning. He done heard the word. God done sent him a word of prophecy. Amen. He's sending you a word this morning, amen. I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what you're dabbling with. I don't know what you're doing, but it doesn't matter what your position, your title, how much power you have. Praise God. You need to break off sin. You need to quit your iniquity and get your heart right with God. Amen. "At the end of 12 months, as he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, the king spake and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?' While the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee.'" The fastest way to find out how insignificant you really are in the scheme of this world is to start thinking that you are something or somebody. Amen. You know where Nebuchadnezzar wound up? He wound up out eating like an ox. You know where Nebuchadnezzar, for a whole year, I think it was, he wound up, was it a year or 7 years? 7 years, that's right, 7 years. I got thinking about that. For 7 years, he lived just like an animal. He ate like an animal. He looked like an animal. For all intents and purposes, you could look out the window of the palace and thought there was some strange animal out there. And it wasn't nothing but Nebuchadnezzar, the king, who bragged about his power, who bragged about his majesty, his position, his power, and all that he had accomplished. And it still didn't change the fact that God could bring him low. It's not in man to direct himself. We think we're going to be able to get saved because of who we are. You're not going to get saved because of who you are. God saves you because of who he is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. You're not going to be able to do a work that God might want you to do, Christian, if you think that you're doing it because God knows I'm somebody. God knows I'm something. God knows. You know what I like about, and I pick one of them all the time. I ain't going to call your name today. I tease Brother Ron and his family about their ministry. It's a unique ministry. But you know what the great thing about that ministry is? Nobody knows who it is. Amen. One of them's dressed up like Darth Vader. Two of them are dressed up like, you don't know who they are. Amen. You don't have a clue whatsoever. And the only one that gets any glory out of what's done is the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. When you start thinking you're something, and you start thinking that everybody needs to see you and it's all about you, you'll find out that God don't need you. And God can show you how much he don't need you.
Amen.
Amen. No matter what your position, no matter what kind of power, you might be the pastor's son. I had a pastor really bothered me one time. His son was his associate pastor or youth pastor. I don't know what the title was. But his son left him and went and pastored a church. And he said, I got all these young men. They're all wanting to take this job. They all want to this job my son vacated. And they know they get a house and it gets this and that. And they just all want it. Well, I'm thinking, it was good enough for your son. Why are you so critical of other men who are desiring to do a ministry, to do a work? See, when it becomes about you, then it can't be about God. It's got to be one or the other. You or him. Amen? See, that's what God taught Abraham when he took him up Mount Moriah. You got to decide up here whether it's going to be me or you. Amen? You got to decide right now. I've given you this great prophecy. I gave you this great promise. And I've delivered on everything that I said I was going to do. You have trusted me. You have followed me. You have believed me. But have you outgrown me? See, folks, too many times we outgrow God. I know in many of our secular places today, many times our young people were told just to tolerate your parents. They don't know no better. They can believe those old wives' tales and those old fables if they want to. Just let them believe it. As a nation, it seems like America thinks they've outgrown God. Amen. Sadly, in our churches, we've outgrown God. We've got so important, we've got so busy that we program God right out of the picture. Pastors think it's all about them. Man, they got the church house is all dark. You go, it don't even look like a church anymore. The auditorium is all dark, and they got the light shows, and man, they got the spotlights that shine right on the pastor, and they follow him everywhere he goes, and man, it's right, it's all about him. And it's all about us. And it's not about Jesus anymore. Amen. We got to be careful. We can program God right out. We can become so important. Our church can become so important. You know, I know folks like to brag about their church, and I like to brag about my church too. But most importantly, we need to brag about our Savior.
Amen.
Amen. And what our Savior's doing at our church.
Amen.
Amen. You know, you can tell everybody how great your church is. That's great. Tell them how great your God is. And tell them if you want to find out, just come on down to our church. Amen. Come on down and visit with us. And when he shows up and he visits with us and you get to see what he's doing and how he's going to do it, it's just amazing what God does when lives are changed and lives are transformed and lives are helped. I'm going to have to stop right here. And I want to finish this tonight. Folks, I want you to know something. We got to be careful. We're trying to do things in our own knowledge. We're trying to do things in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own power, and for our own reasons. And if we're not careful, we'll wind up in a place where we never thought that we would be. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song of invitation.